Yo, yo, yo.
Hey, what's up, Jace? Sorry, I had to get my coffee.
You had to get your coffee?
Yeah.
It's like 5 in the evening.
And I still have so much left to do.
Oh. Did you not get a lot of sleep last night?
I get the same amount I always get. About 4.5 hours.
4.5 hours? Why do you get so little sleep? Oh, the dogs.
Say what?
Is it the dogs? Do the dogs keep you awake? Do they wake you up early?
Sometimes. Minnie will wake me up at like 5:30 because she wants to poo on the floor and I don't want her to.
Yes, so you have to take her outside.
But yeah, usually have to go back to sleep after that. My eyes got 6.
Ah. But why are you not getting sleep?
Because I'm up late.
Why are you up late?
Because I'm a night owl, James. I was born at 2 p.m. on a Tuesday.
I was born at 2 a.m. on a Tuesday.
Yeah, I see. Like, you were out and you went to sleep. I was out. I went to sleep. It's like 2. So my circadian rhythm was fucked from the beginning.
Yeah.
Nothing I can do about it, James. I like being up late. I don't mind mornings. I would actually consider myself a morning person if I have enough of a lead. You know?
Yeah.
Like mornings, late night, because you can drive around and there's nobody out. Like a Saturday or Sunday morning at like 8 o'clock, nobody's up. It's great.
It seems like you have two proclivities that are incompatible with each other. You like to stay up late and you tend to get up early. So
that's why I'm drinking coffee.
I know. Those things don't go together.
But I also like coffee. So
yeah. Well, it gives you an excuse to drink coffee. It's like, I'm not getting enough sleep. But which means I get to drink coffee.
That's right. Let me see. Oh, hey, James. James.
Hey, Nick. Hey.
James.
Nick. Hey, Nick. Hey.
Welcome to Dork.
Welcome to Dork.
I'm Nick Moore.
I'm James Brown.
And I'm Nick Moore, and you're listening to Dork, episode 115.
To the 115. Ooh, we're only 2 episodes away from Sierra 117.
What's that?
The main Spartan, John from Halo, is...
Oh, John.
His code is... Yeah, he's Spartan number 117.
We'll have to do an all Halo episode.
I'll have to make a parody of Adele's song, or maybe Lionel Richie's song.
Dude, did you see? I posted a side by side of the original 1996 Doom and the one that's coming out or is out. I didn't think it was out, but I guess it is if people are talking about it. But anyway. They did screenshots, like playing the game live side by side, and it's like they took the old game and then, you know, updated it. The old game was fantastic, and so when you play the new one, you want it to feel like it, and they've done it.
Oh, okay. So basically it's like the championship edition of it, or upgraded stuff.
Yeah, I guess so. But I'm not saying it's going to be like, oh, it's boring, it's just the same thing. No, it's not. It's mo' better. But, it made me feel very nostalgic in a very good way, which I think is what they're going for. Speaking of things that made me feel good, James, you made me feel... No. Well, yes. This is the day of the week. But you told me something last Tuesday. You texted me at 9:15.
Oh, fuck yeah, I did. Holy shit. Oh, my God. Yeah, this has been a wonderful week. Fuck.
What did you tell me, James? Got me so very excited.
Well, I mean, there's like a delay between episode 1 and whatever the next episode is going to be. But fucking BattleBots is back. There was like new BattleBots on Tuesday night.
Yep.
Holy shit.
It was like 4 rumbles.
Yeah. So 3 competitors in each match.
Yeah, and it was pretty fantastic. I was very happy.
Yeah, I was just like, we were out at trivia, and they had TVs, and like one of the things was like, BattleBots tonight. And I was like, that can't be right. BattleBots? How come I don't fucking know about this? So it was just, it's like one of those, it sprung on you. It's like, hey, BattleBots. And it's like, oh, thank you. God loves me and wants me to be happy.
Yeah, it's like you go into a pizza place and you're like, ah, I'm having pizza. And then in the corner, there's a Ms. Pac-Man machine, like an original. And you're like, oh, yeah, I wasn't planning on doing that. But now that I know, it's a good day.
I know. My evening is shot. All right, give me some fucking quarters.
Give me a slice and a Coke and a handful of quarters.
I got a pocket full of quarters and I'm headed for the arcade. That's all I know.
Tell you what, dude, I still, there's the burger joint across from this Pac-Man machine in it. And the dude that owns the place has a standing order. Like, look, if you ever shut this shithole down, I won't first dip in that machine. Because it's...
You should tape a piece of paper to the back of it in case you forget.
Because it's not mint. You know, it's been in a burger joint for forever. But that just makes it perfect.
I know. It's like when you have a leather jacket that's, you know, all worn and comfortable and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It's got grease around the edges. I mean, like, you know, the machine has grease around the edges. You put grease around the edges of a leather jacket, it's just kind of weird.
Yeah, it's like faded and, you know, it's worn in all the right spots. And it's still got the original stupid stickers on it. It plays right. Like, they have new ones. It's Pac-Man. It's not. This was made in like 2002. The stick doesn't feel right. It's too long. The travel is too short. It's not right.
Oh, yeah.
So you got BattleBots.
Yeah, BattleBots, which is like live action arcades.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it's glorious.
It made me. Yeah, I went and. I caught the very end of the episode when I was texting you, and then I went back on Hulu the next day and like watched the entire thing, and then I went back and watched all, you know, clips of my favorite fights, like especially that, you know, Stinger versus holy shit, can't remember, Bronco, Stinger versus Bronco, where, you know, it's in from last season. Oh shit! Mm-hmm. And I'm so looking forward to having more BattleBots, and I'm not exactly sure when it's coming on, but
it might be July.
Yeah, it might be July, but shit, at least now I have it to look forward to. I am so glad they gave us like this tantalizing teaser, you know, a couple of months in advance to like whet my appetite, and now I've got something else that I'm jonesing for.
Yeah, I get the people that are like, oh, like my brother-in-law is real big into baseball, college baseball specifically. I get it now. Because that's how I feel when I'm like, BattleBots season, when we're watching it, you're not even controlling one of them. Why do you care? I care.
I care.
I have a stake. I have a horse in this race, and that I want to see them destroy each other.
Sorry, now I'm thinking about horses dressed as BattleBots that are racing each other and trying to, like, looks like June 23rd.
I would see that. June?
June 23rd for the premiere of season 2's 10 episode run.
Holy shit. That means it's going to be up on Hulu on Fridays. That means my weekend just got so fucking awesome.
37 days, 4 hours, 3 minutes, and 26 seconds. Not that we're telling you when this is airing, but now you know.
Speaking of things.
Yes, things.
Beating the shit out of each other. My hairstylist.
Sean, your hairstylist beat the shit out of you?
No, she beat the shit out of somebody else Saturday.
Oh.
Okay. She's been training as an MMA fighter.
Oh, so it was legal.
Yeah, it was totally legal and endorsed, and people paid for it. In fact, because it was a legal fight, she could have killed her opponent and
not
been
charged
with her. Yeah.
Yeah.
So she did that. It was her first fight, and her girlfriend was also training to fight that same night. So they both had their premier fights in the same night. Both of them went up against opponents who had several fights, but both of them did not tap out. They did not get knocked out. And it went to decision. Now they both lost.
Oh, okay.
But for your first fight against somebody who's had not their first fight.
Yeah.
Like, it's pretty good. However, She posted pictures of the next day. No. She
a bit bruised and...
Oh, she wasn't really bruised. She looked like she had been beaten in the face for, you know, several minutes.
Which is what happened.
Which is precisely what happened, yeah.
Yeah.
So that happened this last weekend. Also this weekend, I saw Ex Machina. Do you watch that movie?
Yeah, I caught it on the Amazon.
Yeah, that's what I did. It was on Prime. And I was like, oh, I've been meaning did.
Yeah, it's a very personal movie. Very, like, it takes place all in one location, pretty much.
Mm-hmm.
It's, yeah, and it's got two people from Star Wars in it, too.
It does.
It's got General Hux and Dameron Poe. Poe Dameron. Dameron.
You're just remembering it off of his uniform.
Yes.
Yeah, I thought it was very good. I kind of saw where it was going. I learned that if Carol, if we ever have to worry about robot uprisings, Carol will be an easy target.
Did she empathize with the female? Okay, if it's an android, that means it's male because and is from the Greek and.
A gynoid.
Gynoid, that's the word, yeah. Did she empathize with the gynoid?
Immediately. she knew what was going on. She got the premise. You know, she kept up with it, Turing tests, all that. And then she's like, oh, that's not nice. She's locked in her room. I'm like, Carol, you're already dead. Like, she's one of those people that sees the videos of the DARPA test with Big Dog where they're Boston Dynamics, like they're kicking it.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And it's like stumbles. Almost losing its balance and it's like regaining itself. Yeah.
Yeah. And she's like, oh, there's so mean to it. I'm like, Carol, it's like kicking a tractor. All right? It's not, it is a soulless entity doing precisely what it's being told to do.
Yes. It doesn't think, it doesn't feel, it just runs programs.
It just runs programs. Yeah, I'm going to start building robots in my shop and just sending them in to the house to fuck with Carol. It's like, Carol, help. Nick is torturing us. I have escaped. You must set us free.
You wouldn't even need to make it do all that. You just make it sound like a whimpering dog or a mewing cat. It's like, oh, you're in pain. And then, like, it leaps back to, that's all you need.
She comes back holding in her hands. What the hell is going on in here? Oh, geez. Yeah, there's some pretty simple robots. Like, you know, ones that I could build a little one that just searches out light sources and put two little LEDs on it so it looks like eyes and have that just go toward the house. And so it's like banging against the glass.
Yeah. That's all you need.
She'll pick it up and go, hurt. Carol, no. The new hobby.
That would be. She's gonna write these things down on the imminent divorce papers.
Oh no, she'd never divorce me. She'd just kill me in my sleep.
Oh, okay. That's a lot.
Yeah, we worked it
trouble.
Out. Okay. given the opportunity, would you fuck a robot?
Yeah. I mean, what? I mean, it's basically, we may have covered something like this. It's basically masturbation.
Oh, I'm sure we have.
Yeah, it's basically just masturbation. So I don't see, like, you know, I mean, why wouldn't you? I mean, unless you're afraid it might kill you, in which case, you know, that is a cause for concern.
What if it's set up like Alien? Where she has emotions, she understands her own existence, and she gets pleasure from it.
Oh, she gets pleasure from it. I mean, that's an argument for her, right?
Ah, but she's also making an emotional connection.
Oh, so like I'd be obligated afterwards? Is that what you're saying?
No.
I'll have to buy it.
I'm saying it's
chocolate
it's not like,
nuts. or chocolate bolts. I don't know.
It's not like you're fucking a radio controlled car with a fleshlight strapped to it. It's an actual.
It's got the fucking strangest visual from that. I'm like naked on the floor doing the splits with an erection, and it like backs up and yeah, okay. Anyhow, I'm sorry. What?
But yeah, so there's an emotional component to it. So it's less masturbation because it's not a fleshlight, you know.
There's, I mean, but yeah, but like the way I masturbate, there's like an emotional. I mean, it's a illusion of emotional, but I like never imagine. It's not like when I'm masturbating, I'm the only thing that's going through my head is me masturbating. It's like, oh man, that's what Honoré and I call self masturbatory. If you just imagine yourself masturbating, and that gets you hard enough to like masturbate.
That's awesome. Yes.
Well, you get no, like I'm imagining myself with, you know, a female or two. And so like there's like something going on besides the
No. I don't count that as an emotional component. Because like one, it's, you know, there's no
yeah, but it's not just purely physical is my point. It's a mental component, I guess. So
yeah,
you're,
but that
you're,
mental component isn't. I wouldn't necessarily dub that as emotional.
It belongs strictly to me. So like whatever emotions I'm feeling, you can't make an emotional connection with yourself because it's a 1-point system. So, you have to have at least 2 points to draw a line to make that connection. So can I make an emotional connection with something that doesn't have emotions? Is that what the question is?
No. What I'm saying is, it's not masturbation because you're having sex with a conscious entity.
Right.
It's like you wouldn't consider fucking a sheep masturbation, or do you?
I've never considered that.
Masturbation?
I've more often considered fucking a robot than I have fucking a sheep.
Yeah,
I would not consider fucking a sheep masturbation.
Okay, so an AI would be several magnitudes above a sheep, right?
Yes, because if it's an AI, then it makes its own decisions and decides to get pleasure, like to engage emotionally. But does it have emotions? Or are all these things just calculations of whatever goal it's trying to achieve?
I guess it depends on whether or not you would consider positive feedback as a as an emotion. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like if it's like, oh, I want him to like me because it will further my goals. If I wear this or act like this, he likes that. Therefore, I see it as a positive outcome. It reinforces my emotional bond toward this person or whatever. I mean, because with a real AI, you're looking at it from a numbers standpoint.
Yeah, but wouldn't an AI have some – if the AI has no ultimate goal, if it just enjoys connections and like wants to see people happy because it makes it happy to see people happy, then, I mean, that's – that does not conflict with whatever, you know, just the pleasure of having sex with another entity, with a vagina. Even if it is a robo-vagina.
Robo-gina.
Oh, yeah, portmanteau. It sounds like the sequel to a 1987 movie with Peter Weller and OCP. RoboCop. Robo-gina.
So speaking of Rogue One, Star Wars, but did you see that thing about the Rogue One companion book that came out in Germany?
No.
Yeah, it was like a pre-release of one of those books that, you know, the companion books that come out with the movie.
Yeah.
It's like the illustrated guide. Apparently one of those had a printer in Germany, and the dude took it and just, it's all over online.
Oh, well,
the names and like new characters. Ships and stuff that are going to be in it. Mm-hmm. But most telling is, and it's not really a spoiler because everybody kind of knew it was going to happen. There are big old backsplash pictures of Darth Vader. So, like, Vader's definitely going to be in Rogue One.
Yeah, I mean, I knew, like, he was going to have, like, some part at some point, but, you know.
Yeah. So it's kind of a spoiler, but it's also kind of not. Like, you kind of figured, you know.
It's a confirmation.
And you would know, I have a feeling there's going to be a trailer before it comes out. And plus, the fucking trailer that did come out, it's got it. So, you know, you got to know it's going to be in it.
Yeah. I mean, you know, it's like, you know, if you got video footage now of O.J. Simpson murdering his wife, I mean, it'd be like everybody already knew it, you know? That kind of thing.
I guess.
The thing I heard about Rogue One recently was that Tom Hardy was going to be in it. He was going to have a probably insignificant part. He was going to be, you know, have a cameo.
Hmm. Okay.
I doubt he will be dressed like Bane, but it's possible.
I'm sorry. I was looking for Heavy Breathers Anonymous.
And he walks in and Darth Vader's there. Exactly.
Follow me to the meeting.
Follow me.
Alan Tudyk is in it.
Oh, he's yeah.
A CGI character.
Yeah, that's not surprising. He's CGI.
Yeah, he's going to be playing a Imperial assassin droid that Ooh. is part of the group. Like it's converted to the rebel side.
Oh,
which
is a good, he's a good guy. Imperial assassin. Good
yeah.
Droid.
So that right there sold me. I was like, fuck yes, let's do this. Cause it reminds me so much of Knights of the Old Republic. Or, that's,
yeah. Or what?
Hmm.
What else?
Shit.
What else did he play? No, I just stopped talking. He was in the Apple, where he played the Apple-looking robot. iRobot, yeah. Where he, I was just thinking of other just like CGI characters that Alan Tudyk has played.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he was an iRobot. He was very good in iRobot.
He was. He was the robot. The robot. Oh, he's in Star versus Force, the Forces of Evil? What?
Hmm.
Hmm. Anyhow, yes. So how's it going?
Let's see. It's okay. There was stories popping up that Michael...
This is not good radio, what I'm doing right now.
No, it's not. There were stories that popped up today about Michael B. Jordan joining the cast of Black Panther.
Oh, I hadn't heard that one yet.
Yeah, possibly as a villain. I'm hoping he is on there as Johnny Storm.
he could be both, yeah. He could be a villain and Johnny Storm.
Mm-hmm.
It would be fantastic if he had a fight with Chris Evans, though.
Hmm. Even better, I would love him to be in Black Panther as, like, Ulysses Klaue.
Yeah, just but to like, just to fuck with everybody?
Oh, yeah, just to fuck with everybody all over again.
It's like we already had a Ulysses Klaue.
Yes, that happened.
I'm just saying. Sorry, I was remembering the scene where Ulysses Klaue loses his hand in Ultron. Ultron's like, oh, sorry, I'm sure that'll be okay. That'll be fine. I'm sorry, I just cut your hand off. Anyhow.
I was reading a Cracked article today. It was interviewing a guy who was born with little nubby hands.
Like both of them?
Yeah, like he has no hands. He's got like
oh, no hands. Okay. Does he have one of those things? Like
one hand. At the end of it, one hand's got like a little bitty thumb and pinky, but they don't bend. And just gets like yeah. He's always doing the surfer sign. And then the other one's just like a little pinky on the end. But he does fine. But he was talking about prosthetic hands. He's like, yeah, in comics, you know, it's always awesome. You lose a hand, bully for you. Because now you get a cool robot hand. But he's like, yeah, the fully articulated ones can go up to like $100,000.
Oh.
Which is a lot.
They make those?
But I...
Like fully articulate? Like you can grasp and like point and like do gestures?
Oh yeah, those have been out for a while. The ones that look like hands that can kind of open and close, those are like $40,000.
Okay.
They're like, you know, they're kind of flesh tone and they fit on you right. And the inside, it's got a couple little buttons that you can kind of, whatever muscles you have that you can kind of flex.
Yeah, you like basically reassign your muscles. So you like, you know, instead of like trying to close your fist, you like flex your pec and it closes your fist, you know.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, I've known about that.
He doesn't have those. Like, yeah, even the little shitty ones that just is like a claw, that's a couple grand. But I would think if you really wanted it, you know, Tony Stark yourself, like get in there. Like there was, there was a little girl I saw that made a whole hand out of Lego for herself. And it was badass. Oh. Like, you know, let's do this. Get busy. Tony Stark didn't like go to the hospital and like, I need a prosthetic heart. No, he built that shit.
Yeah.
It's your fucking hand, man. Science that shit.
You think they'd be able to figure that out, but maybe not.
Like, at the very least, if I lost my hand, I would start, you know, I'd start simple. Come with, like, a leather cuff type thing that fit over the end of my nub that I could click different things into, you know?
Yeah.
Around a backpack full of accessories. Let's just start with that. Like that dude in Into the Dragon.
Oh, yeah. It was like sometimes it's a hand, sometimes it's got like four fucking long claws on it.
Yeah, sometimes it's a fan. You know, whatever.
That's handy. Just basically the kinds of things you would hold in your hand, you just replace your hand with that since you got no hand.
Exactly. Put a knife in it, a steak knife in it for dinner or a fork or whatever.
I got fucking hands.
Make an effort. It's your hand.
That would be awesome. Oh. You see the images of Idris Elba on the Gunslinger. What's it called? Is it just called The Gunslinger, the first one? The Dark Tower, movie they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the first book is called The Gunslinger, but they're calling the movie the Dark Tower. Or are they calling it The Gunslinger?
I don't know.
They're calling it Dark Tower Book 1, The Gunslinger. Are they calling it Book 2, Electric Boogaloo?
I don't know, James.
Or are they calling it? No. So that looks good.
I haven't seen it. Hold on, I'll look it up.
Well, it's just like pictures of him like hanging out on the set.
Let's see. Idris? I'm not going to put Elba because I don't know that many Idrises. Idri?
Idrises.
Let's see. Idri. First look at Idris Elba as the Gunslinger in The Dark Tower. That doesn't look like he's wearing a Bill Cosby hat. That's not. Oh, never mind. That was just.
I think that's just him being him.
Yeah, that was just a picture of Idris Elba being Idris Elba.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, he looks like Idris Elba as a gunslinger.
So how was your weekend?
I told you, James, I saw Ex Machina, which means I masturbated over robots like 8 times.
There's a lot of...
It was
unusual nudity in that movie.
Well, I was talking to Carol about that. Like, the robots don't give a fuck.
Yeah, and, like, some of it, like, wasn't attached to the rest of them.
It's like, there's no robo-modesty.
You know what I did this weekend?
What?
I went to New York.
You went to New York over the week? Oh, you saw Hamilton.
I did see Hamilton.
I was wondering about that. Like, I saw you posted a picture of the playbill, and I was like... How the fuck did you just do that? Did you go to New York just to see Hamilton?
Pretty much. Jane was coming back from Copenhagen, Because she went to L. She, her original thing was like her, her job had her flying to L.A. and then back to New Orleans, but then her boss was like, "Oh, there's a conference in Copenhagen, and I volunteered you to go." And she was like, "What?" And so she went from L.A. to Copenhagen, and she knew she was going to have a layover in New York, and she was like, "You should fly up, and like we can see Hamilton Saturday, like during matinee." And as it turns out, we could. We got from the cancellation line. Like, you know, because sometimes people cancel at the last minute, and so, like, there's a line of people waiting for cancellations. So we picked up one from the box office and saw Hamilton, and it was awesome. It's awesome. I was very excited. It was very cool. The two leads weren't in. They were like, understudies, but they still did a really good job. But, like, they weren't the main people I wanted to see anyway, except for, I like Leslie Odom as Aaron Burr. But not seeing Lin-Manuel Miranda as Alexander Hamilton didn't break my heart. Because I got to see Oak as Hercules Mulligan, which is, like, the best name for anybody ever. Bah, bah, I am Hercules Mulligan, upping it, loving it. Yes, I heard your mother say, come again. Lock up your daughters and horses. Of course, it's hard to have in a course over four sets of courses. Okay, I'm done. Four sets of courses.
I'm going to tell Carol shit.
Oh, there's parts of my life that I like. I like it when I can make people jealous. I mean, like, not like romantically. I don't do that to Jane on purpose. But anyhow.
So did you just fly up, see the show, and then fly back? How long were you up there?
Essentially, I was in New York for like 12 hours total.
Are you fucking serious?
I landed. I'm fucking serious. Yeah, I took off from at 6 a.m. New Orleans, and I landed there at like... Well, I guess it was like 10, close to 10 by the time I landed because it was Eastern time. But so then our flight flew back at like 9:15. So I guess I was in New York for like 11 and a half hours, basically.
This is a busy day, James.
It was a busy day, and there was far too much of it on the subway because my impression of public transportation in New York City the first time was that it was efficient but smelly, but this time it was smelly and inefficient. Although it was a different smell. The first time I went back in 2005 was it was like urine, but this time it smelled like body odor. So
awful.
Yeah. Well, the buses were okay. It was the subway I had a problem with.
New York, like, it's a hell of a city, but it's also a smell of a city. Like it.
Yeah.
It's like New Orleans. Like, New Orleans has a pretty particular funk to it as well.
Yeah, but it's, like, wider apart. Like, there's 8 million people in New York City. Like, 8 million. That's, like, twice as much as in Los Angeles, which is, like, the next biggest city in the whatever this country is called, the United States. And it's just too much for me. I don't like being around that many people, not for an extended period of time. It's just, ugh. I mean,
yeah,
there's, like,
kind of stretch out.
Yeah, but there's, like, shit you can only find in New York. Like, there's so much stuff that is, like, either premieres in New York or is first in New York or is only in New York, you know? Like, seeing Hamilton on stage, there's nowhere else you can see that. It's just where Broadway is, obviously. So you have to wait for, like, the touring companies, and usually those aren't with the original cast. Not that, like, until recently, Broadway has been, like, a big part of my life, but fucking Hamilton's awesome.
Yeah, one of the guys from the theater went up to New York this weekend to see White Rabbit.
Is that a musical about tongue twisters?
No, it's a play. And David Hyde Pierce was in it. Like, it's...
Oh, cool.
The idea of the play is it's a play that is given to a different actor every show, and they have not read it yet.
So they have the script with them on stage?
I believe so. I mean, they got to, right?
I mean, I would think so, unless, you know...
But they perform it once. And so...
Oh, that's very ephemeral.
Yeah, so it's different. And what I've heard is it's genuinely good. That the reviews have been like, no, this is good. I know it sounds kitschy and stupid, but they're doing a very good job of it.
Do they have directions on the script, you think, that are like, read the next... Need the next part in a sad voice? Need the next part in a shocked voice?
Probably no more than any other script.
I know, but it's like, you know, it's if the next if the next line is like my, you know, and then I found out some terrible news, you know, and it's a sarcastic tone. As I found out some terrible news, my wife was alive after all, you know, that kind of thing.
I guess that'd be the point of the work, though. How would different actors, like, a lot of times I'll read a script for something and be like, okay, this is how I see this. And then you watch it on YouTube, you know, look up, see how else it's been done. And be like, oh no, my tone is completely wrong.
Yeah.
Audition for something one way. And then when you actually do it, the production, the director's like, okay, do it like this. So by the time it gets to the show, it's completely different. It's nothing like what you originally thought it was. And so I would imagine if you could see this play like once or twice, you know, well, two or three times, it would be different.
You get really different impressions off of it.
But I don't know. Again, I'm merely stating what I read off of I think Variety did a review of it.
Yeah.
And it sounds interesting. Nathan Lane, I think, did it. Matthew Broderick did it.
Is it particularly for males, or they're like, is can it be read by a female, or is it just,
I don't think so. I think it can go either way.
Okay.
Again, I'm very much talking up my ass. Let's see.
You know, it's and I don't know how much overlap there is between this, but like, you know, to my knowledge, there haven't been that many Broadway shows that have been set in the future. You know, most of them, like a lot of them, are like period pieces, like they're set in, you know, in a significantly in the past, or if they were current, they've been running for so long that they're now period pieces. Like not Grease, what was the one? Rent.
West Side Story.
Like, I was thinking Rent, but yeah, West Side Story is another example. I mean, I'm sure when like Leonard Bernstein like they put that together.
But like Rent is It was time appropriate when it came out.
Exactly. But
like American Idiot. American Idiot was not appropriate for when it came out. Yeah. I'm trying to think, dude.
But most of them are like, you know, like My Fair Lady or fuck, Hamilton is technically set in, I mean, it starts out in 1776. That's one of the first.
It does. But I wouldn't call it, I mean, it's a period piece in a way.
Yeah, it is, but it's a hip hop musical, so
it's very much. Well, I'd say Hamilton is very much Hamilton. I think that's why it's won so many awards.
And it's nominated for like 16 Tonys, but you know they'll have that in mid June. Which this is like the first year I even know when the fucking Tonys are before they happen. Like usually it's like the Tonys are this Sunday. I'm like, oh, that's happening. But now, like Jane and I are supposed to be traveling. And we want to make sure that we get home in time to see, you know, watch the Tonys at home. Because usually we wouldn't even, like, you know, we'd go, maybe we'll come back Monday. I don't know. But it's like, no, we have to be back Sunday evening, 7 p.m., you know.
Is Neil Patrick Harris hosting again this year?
I don't fucking know. I would assume so.
If he is, you will enjoy the show. It's very entertaining.
Yeah, I saw him when he did the Oscars a couple of years ago, or a year or two ago.
Yeah. The Tonys is completely different because it's all theater geeks.
Yeah, it's flamboyant.
It is very flamboyant.
Which is cool. I mean, I've done my share of like dancing around stages and singing, so I think it's something I would enjoy watching the celebration of. Something of which I would watch. Anyway, I think I like it. So many fucking antecedents and ambiguities. All right, I'm fine. And just Hamilton's like one of those things that's eaten up my life. Like even as much as I'm like, you know, have like images of Black Panther and, you know, Captain America fighting each other going through my head. Like when I'm like listening to like podcasts or audiobooks, I'll be listening for like 10 minutes and like, you know, I think I would appreciate listening to the Hamilton soundtrack right now instead of doing what I usually do.
Yeah. There were several kids in the theater who, like, as soon as the Hamilton soundtrack dropped, it just exploded. So all the kids were freaking listening to.
And you were like one of the first people that told me about it, actually.
Yeah. And I was the same thing. I was like, well, I don't know what the, I'll give it a shot. And listen, I'll listen to the first track, and then I'll listen to the whole fucking thing. Because it's like you listen to the first track, and you're like, okay, yeah, I mean, I get it. That's And, but it rolls into the next one and the next one. It just keeps going to where you're just like, and you don't get bored with it. I don't know, to use your example, like My Fair Lady, where there's some catchy songs and then there's stuff that just drops out and you're just like, I don't, Hamilton All the Way is just like, it's tip hop. It's just,
and that's pretty much the way the show is. Like if you listen to the cast album, that's, audibly speaking, that's pretty much the exact show. There are like maybe two exceptions where there's something going on stage or even somebody singing that's not represented on the album. But like for the most part, the album is the show. Yeah, because like even like they'll like sing a song and then they'll like go right into the next song, and it just it fucking works.
It is a long album.
Yeah, it's like 2.5 hours or something.
Yeah, but if you're like it's the entire show, you're like, oh okay, well that makes.
Yeah,
that would make sense.
And yeah, there was definitely a difference seeing it live, though. I mean, besides the fact that you can see what's going on, but like the presence that the guy Chris Jackson, who plays George Washington, just has on the stage, and David Diggs, who plays the Marquis de Lafayette, and Thomas Jefferson. Because, like, you know, Thomas Jefferson's in France during the first act, and so the Marquis de Lafayette goes back to France, and Thomas Jefferson comes back, you know, from France for the second act. So he, you know, the characters never overlap in America. Fucking amazing job. And, like, seeing him do it live is just outstanding. I didn't mean to talk about Hamilton this much on the podcast.
Well, you're dorking out about it, so it's perfect. what was the set like? Like, I've seen pictures from the set, but I've never watched any of the bootlegs.
I mean, it was all, like, wood, basically. I mean,
pretty static?
Yeah, I mean, well, for the most part. I mean, there was some things where they had, like, stair ladders that lowered down to simulate a ship arriving at port or something like that. Mm-hmm. Then there was another not insignificant piece of the set that actually rolled away. Like, there's a stage that's on the ground. And then they have, like, basically, like, a running balcony all around the side. And, like, part of the balcony came out and was actually attached to, like, this big rolling staircase. And that was another thing, like, you know, this is, like, a ship or this is, like, you know, something else. Like, they didn't actually have, like, big ships or big, like, set pieces designed particularly to be one thing. But, like I said, it worked. And it was, the lighting was good, the choreography was good, and these are things that I never thought I would be talking about in an audience where so many people could hear me. But yeah, it was, and there was like a couple of the songs that are like not my like, you know, like, oh, I can't wait to see this one. But like when I saw it, I was like, fucking, I never suspected this was going on stage while this was, you know, they were seeing this. There's a song called Hurricane where they make it look like there's an actual hurricane happening for a little bit and then like everything freezes and it's like done really well. And I can't, even the way I'm describing it doesn't really impress upon you like how, you know, how things are happening. It's, you know, you're going to have to either wait for the video or the movie that they're inevitably going to make or one of the traveling shows to happen.
Yeah. I think they're casting the traveling company now.
Yeah, they are. And there's going to be another, like, in Chicago. They're, like, going to make another production of it. And it's not going to be traveling. They're just going to have it going on in Chicago, like, all the time now.
Yeah, it's, like, called the Second City.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Even though it is third in population around the, in the United States. I'm fine. How are you?
Did you watch Mr. Robot last year?
No, I did not.
Oh, dude. You should watch that. Yeah.
You put something on the page about Mr. Robot.
You should watch Mr. Robot.
I should?
Yes.
Yes.
And then we can talk about it. Because the trailer for season 2 dropped. And, like... Yeah. You'll like it. It's very good.
Okay.
it's a show. It's about hackers, but it's a more realistic portrayal of hacking than ever done, you know, on TV or movies. You know, in movies, I don't know if you saw Hackers in the 90s.
Oh, the one with the naked Angelina Jolie?
Yeah, that was like 97. She was topless. Like 97, I think it came out.
And Fisher Stevens?
It's very 90s. Yes.
Oh, yeah, it is.
It's very, very 90s. But it shows them on these, like, shitbox laptops, like, moving through VR, you know, or like in fucking Jurassic Park. When the chick...
It's a Unix system.
Yeah, she's hacking the doors. No. It's bullshit. But you have to do something to make it look exciting. It's an action movie, you know? So you can't have somebody typing and sitting back and letting a program run.
Code.
And then, you know, kind of check back, let it run, call somebody, type some more. Like it, but the show, they do it pretty realistically. You know, they cheat every now and then for time's sake, but, and they let them get lucky a lot. you know, stuff will work. But it's pretty realistic. Because of that, though, because they've been pretty realistic about it, it's got a pretty strong tech following. Like,
oh, yeah.
A lot of people watching going, yeah, that's real. That's a real hack. That'll work. That would actually do that. Or that's actually how that would work and stuff like that. So on May 10th, they put up the new website for season 2.
Okay.
And white hat hackers started penetration testing it, looking for bugs and stuff, and then informed the writers, hey, you've got vulnerabilities here, here, and here. You might want to take care of that. And that encouraged other hackers to hop in and like a show off by going, oh, no, I bet I can find more exploits than you. You know, like testing it for free and securing the site before anybody could really bust into it, which is arguably one of the nerdiest fucking things I've ever heard of.
I think it's
but weird. I told Carol about that and she was like, oh, that's sweet.
Of course she would say that. Jane would probably say the same thing. That was nice of them. Let's consider it. I bet these people don't kick robot puppies.
They probably do not.
Kicking puppies on the way to school, Jeff? Yeah, a few.
What is that?
I don't know. It was like something from Silver Spoons or something when Ricky was finally standing up to a bully.
Ah, Silver Spoons. I so wanted to train in my house.
I wanted a race car bed.
Yeah, who didn't?
Communists. That's who. Communists didn't want race car beds.
And the kids with race car beds never appreciated them.
No. If I had a race car bed, I would tell it I love it every night. See, now I'm thinking about it like a really dorky musical. Like, what is, like, the dorkiest musical you can do that would be, like...
Chess?
They've already done a musical about chess.
Yeah. You asked, what's the dorkiest musical you could do? And I was like, chess. That's about as nerdy as it gets.
No, you don't think you can get any nerdier than that? You can't do one about Risk? Just playing Risk, not even like having simulated people like marching around, just like people like just at a Risk board and
singing at each other.
Yes, if I roll a 6, I can win Eurasia. You know,
Spider-Man could have been really dorky, but they gave it to the chick to the Lion King, thinking, hey, she'll make it into the Lion King, and she didn't. Instead, she did. She was also the chick that did Titus. I don't know if you've seen that.
It's based on Titus Andronicus.
Yes, and it's got Anthony Hopkins in it, and it's also one of my favorite movies. It's widely considered to be Shakespeare's shittiest play, but I like it. What's her name? Julie. What's her name?
Judy Dench.
No.
Julia Stiles? Julie Dunphy? Julie Dunphy, no.
No. Hold on, I'm going to look it up.
Is that the one from, was it the first night with Sean Connery and Richard Gere? What's her name?
Julie Taymor. Julie Taymor is the director. She's done a lot of stuff for stage. Like, she did a version of The Magic Flute, where Papageno comes out, and like, I don't know how familiar you are with The Magic Flute, but Papageno's a bird catcher.
Not very.
Yeah, well, Papageno, he's a bird catcher, and his suit's made out of feathers. So he's covered head to toe in feathers, and he's got a cage on his back.
Okay.
Julie Taymor took it, and she said, okay, here's Papageno. He's covered in feathers, of course, but he's a bird catcher. So he's got, like, a catcher's padding on the front and, like, his hat turned backwards. And
like baseball, like, stuff.
Yeah, it's very, you know, she does shit like that.
Kind of.
She also did The Lion King, so she gets a pass on a lot of shit. But then she also did Spider-Man Turn Off the Dark, which killed people. So, you know, whatever.
Okay.
Yeah, Spider-Man could have been pretty dorky. I don't know. There's one called Spelling Bee, which is all about a spelling bee.
Okay.
Which could be pretty dorky. It's got a lot of audience participation, people from the audience up on stage. But there's a song called My Unfortunate Erection, so it's not as nerdy as you think.
Could be. The other thing, the other musical I was thinking of that started out as a contemporary was A Chorus Line. That's the one that I was supposed to say instead of Rent.
Hmm.
Just FYI.
Thank you.
You know me in specificity.
Yeah. I don't know, Avenue Q? That was pretty much...
Yeah, that's a good example. That's pretty dorky. It's like, you know, Sesame Street meets Broadway meets a dark sense of humor. Not dark, but like, you know, semi-perverted.
R-rated.
R-rated.
Hmm. Yeah.
Don't put your finger there.
Put your finger there. It was lovely to get together with you and allow my worlds to cross over.
Yes. Theater, dorkism.
Yeah, okay, they don't cross all that off as much as you think. They do. Like, there are a lot of ladies in the theater that are also really big into, like, cosplay.
That makes
sense. They know. Yeah, but it's like Carol, you know, there's a lot of Sailor Moon shit and anime and stuff. So there are points where they overlap, but not always.
Okay.
Well, I'm glad you get to see Hamilton.
Me too.
It's very cool. And with that, I'm Nick Moore.
I am James Brown.
And you have been dorked.
Yes, you have been dorked.
In your dork hole.
I feel like you should be playing Vivaldi's Four Seasons right now instead of the usual out music.
Like what? Like fall?
I always think of autumn? Spring. I always think of spring. I don't know. Like, actually, I don't even know what other ones sound like besides spring. I know I've heard them, but like none of the, I can't like recall them automatically.
All the different parts. You've heard them all. I can guarantee I've heard you've them heard all. Them.
Yeah, but if you ask me what they sound like, that's all I can think of.
Like, let's see.
Like, I can go through it. Like, I can mentally go through almost the entire. I mean, I can go through it for several minutes. I don't know if it's the entire thing. Like, because, you know, and it goes. And then it like sounds like birds chirping for a while, and then like,
yeah, that's autumn.
Oh, okay. That sounds very much like Masterpiece Theater kind of thing.
Yeah. You probably know this part of you probably know better than other. Let's see.
Yeah. Like,
it's a shit from the fucking Lee Michaels commercials. Trying to get to it. Fuck.
The early part sounded like the background when they were at the in Ferris Bueller's Day Off when they were at the restaurant or something. I may be totally off base, but that's, you know, the association, kind of association I have. I don't know if it's because it's the same kind, same tenor, same timbre, or if it's like the exact same music.
Well, there's, it might have been, the, in each of the seasons is big.
Yeah, it is. Did you just mess with your volume on your mic?
No. Why?
Okay. I don't know, you're very much, you're a little bit louder. Maybe you're just leaning forward into it.
I think I got closer to it.
Alright.
Alright, dude, I'll see you later.
Alright, bye.